We don't know what the fuck's going on, but here's what we sort of saw, and we're going to try to help you guys figure it out. I'm with Clem once again. I'm still in Abu Dhabi. As of right now, when we're recording this, it's 9 p.m. Saturday night. So the McGregor fight hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen in just a few hours. I'm going to head over to the arena. But Clem, I wanted to start this podcast by telling you what I did this morning. But I said, I got to tell you what happened this morning. I go over to the Fighter Hotel to do an interview with this guy, Matt Frivola, who's fighting on tonight's card. He's been a stoolie for years. I've never interviewed him. So I was like, oh, we got to get together. We're in Abu Dhabi. This is going to be great. He said, come by the pool. We're just hanging. It'll be like a cool background, you know? I said, sure. I go up by the pool. And then as soon as I get there, they go, oh, it looks like your boy's coming up. I was like, what? I look over. All Connor's bodyguards show up at the same time. I'm like, oh, boy. And nobody's by the pool at this point. It's just us. 2 seconds later, Clem, Connor and the whole fucking family come up, immediately walk right over to us. Connor gives me a wink. He goes, Robbie, what's up, brother? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm wearing my Connor McGregor shirt from the first Dustin Poirier fight. And I'm like, of course, I look like such a
mark
right now. Like, I'm wearing the Connor shirt. I do the interview. It's like we do a nice 10-minute interview. It was a great time. By the time this is up, you'll be able to watch it on Barstool Sports. So go check that out. And you can hear Connor's kids playing in the background of it, much like my interview with Connor. And you hear Connor doing deep breathing exercises. He's sitting by the pool, like meditating almost, like eyes closed, like. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's fucking so ready for a fight right now. This is so cool. As soon as we get done with the interview, Connor points right over and he's like, oh, you got the shirt from the first Poirier fight. And I was like, oh yeah. Like I told him, I was like, I bought it that night. I remember Connor knocking out Poirier and me immediately being like, I need that fucking shirt he's wearing. That's so cool. And he goes, you know, they stole that logo from me. And he's got the logo on this shirt, very small, tattooed on his arm. And he's never like referenced it before. So I figured that he no longer had control of that logo. And I was like, oh yeah. Like I figured that. And he's like, I was young in the game, Robbie. I didn't know the business yet. I didn't know it. And then he goes back to meditating. I just left. I didn't even say goodbye to him because he was doing his deep breathing. I was like, I don't want to interrupt that. But I thought it was a very good opportunity for him to see that I'm not actually a lunatic, that I could leave him alone when he's with his family. And, we were just BFFs. And that was after the interview, obviously. If you've seen the interview by now, I mean, thank you to all the people that sent kind words about that. Clem, you had a tweet that Mama Fox loved, how it started, how it's going.
I mean, Abu Dhabi has just taken over, I mean, social media right now. It's just one of those things. We don't know what's coming next, and it drops at random hours of the day. It's just, oh, Robbie's, you know, asking Connor a question. I thought that was going to be the highlight of the trip. And, you know, like, you know, everyone at Barstool, whenever we're going on trips, I mean, I think even Dan and Dave, who are like masters at this shit at this point, even they don't know what's going to come out of this when you're making content and stuff like that. You flew halfway around the world, not even knowing if you would actually like see Connor up close and personal. And then to have that happen is just awesome. And I mean, I think everyone at Barstool always roots for each other, but when something like that hits, and Robbie, you just like, you go somewhere, something happens. The Floyd Mayweather senior picture is like an iconic Barstool picture. Obviously, you and Connor, when you had the first thing, when it's how it started, literally, it was that you yelling at the bail bonds, he takes the picture with you. Luke Skywalker's grabbing your arm with a fresh tattoo as you're like grimacing in pain because it's still seared into your body. And then this, I mean, and then this story, which is a completely other thing. And the fact that you had that shirt, that's an OG, like as a casual fan, like I remember Conor McGregor, like 15, 16, I feel like is when I really started getting to know him. And I mean, he blew up. I remember 2016 when we were in HQ, HQ2 was like when he was really, and then the Mayweather fight and all that stuff. I feel like you had him, the stock was big, but it wasn't where it is now, right? It's not Penn National.
Absolutely. Like if you were an MMA fan, you could tell that this guy was like a big prospect. He was starting to knock people out. But I think this was his first ever fight, like on a pay-per-view main card, the first ever time where you could buy a pay-per-view and see Conor McGregor. He was like the second or third fight on the whole thing. And he knocked Dustin out in 90 seconds. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's the best. And for me, it was like, originally he came in, he had the great accent, right? He had the great shit talk. I was like, this guy's like a fucking WWE wrestler. And then once he started backing it up, I decided like, all right, he's my guy. I'm going to pick a favorite fighter right now. And since then, he's been like the one I supported more than ever. So for him to point out the shirt that I bought that night, could imagine telling little fucking Robbie Fox checking out on dethroneroyalty.com like, oh, by the way, this is a great purchase because one day Connor will appreciate it.
That's just unbelievable. And like you said, not only did you like kind of do the whole like leaving while you're ahead without saying goodbye to him, but you also, so you got like the brownie, you got the points from Connor for that, but also having the shirts like, oh, this is like an OG fan. This isn't someone who hopped on board. Cause I'm sure there are a ton of casual Connor fans. And I'm sure he's a ton of people in his life who kind of just popped up once he started, you know, putting belts on his shoulder. So, Double win for Bob Fox. And I mean, the entire Barstool world's just rooting for you. And you just keep catching W's yourself, man. So it's awesome to see. I mean, wifey, she, before we went live, your wifey was like, I just want to tell Robbie congratulations. Cause it's just so awesome to see. For the common man, by the common man. But like, we're just regular dudes. And for this, to see this stuff happen to just another regular person is just so awesome. So keep crushing it out there, man. I don't know what's going to come next. I honestly don't know. Right. He's going to have you in the ring. He's going to have you as fucking imagine. What is going to happen next to Abu Rabi?
So oh my God. Imagine I'm on the yacht after the fight tonight. I go on the yacht with him. Party. I'm very excited to get home though. It's been an amazing trip. It's been a long trip. The TV here doesn't have English. There's like 8 Bollywood channels. The Wi-Fi here is horrible. I'm shocked that the Zoom is even working. I think in about 24 hours is when I board my plane and start, you know, the 31-hour journey home. Tell you what I'm looking forward to the most when I get home, Clem, is diving back into my 3G. I cannot wait to get back into 3G because for an anxious kid like me, this week, isolated, alone, on the other side of the world with no 3G, it's been a little rough at times. And if you go to 3G.com right now, use the promo code MMB at checkout, you'll receive 5% off your total order. This is the greatest deal ever because what do they have at 3G? Delta 8 THC. What is Delta 8 THC? It is a cousin strain of Delta 9 THC, which you find in marijuana. And they basically take all of the great effects of Delta 9 and they try to remove all the bad effects, the paranoia, the sluggishness, the anxiousness that may come with it. They combine it with CBD so you get the medicinal effects. This stuff, I swear by it. I cannot tell you how genuinely I am looking forward to diving back into my 3G. I'm going to be like, you know, Scooby-Doo when he gets into the Scooby snacks and he just like shovels the whole bag into his mouth cartoonishly. I'm going to be just gummy after gummy after gummy. You got to use it responsibly though, because this does give you a buzz. You know, it's psychoactive. It is, I don't want to say like real weed. I don't know if they want me to say that, but this stuff will give you a buzz. Clem can confirm that. I can't wait. Like I said, promo code MMB at 3G.com will get you 5% off.
It kind of just puts me in a nice, warm place. A place, you know, sometimes when the craziness to the outside world and stuff like that, I just need a place. For me personally, kind of just mellows me out, which I think our girl Wanda, Wanda has just been in 3G this whole time. That might be what we find out at the end of the series.
I was going to say, you sound like you're talking about the commercial from this episode. It's like, if you need a good place to go away, take some 3G. Oh, you know, when I get back, it would be so funny if we did a fucking old school WandaVision commercial for 3G.
Oh, that would be
in front of a green screen or something.
I'm in just for the wardrobe. We need some fucking nice 70s stuff. I could probably fit in like some of Herb's clothes. I think that would be sweet.
You ready to talk WandaVision?
Let's rock and roll, baby.
All right. So episode 3, we are now in the 1970s and now in color. I love how they used that now in color trope as like literally the show is now in color. We got a great intro and could tell immediately that this whole episode was going to be about Wanda's pregnancy. They were going to hit a lot of those pregnancy sitcom tropes. And something that's important to note right at the start, we are in the 1970s now. But only hours have passed since the last episode. Like, this is one continuous storyline. No time has jumped. And that's important because Wanda's super pregnant. And they're very much like, what the fuck? You're pregnant at such a fast rate. Vision keeps saying, this is crazy. Wanda starts putting together baby furniture, the crib with all her powers. Immediately, I just thought, God damn. Having those powers, that's what I would use them for, putting together IKEA furniture.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, as someone who's gone through the crib building and the painting and all the other nonsense that come with kids, the baby proofing of the house, superpowers help a lot, especially like when you know like I'm like the least handy person in the world. I was terrified the entire time. Like, my kids are going to just collapse in their crib one night and I'm going to be going to the emergency room because I like screwdriver and Allen wrenches. So many goddamn Allen wrenches are in my life right now. Like my junk drawer is just basically Allen wrenches and unsharpened pencils that Sienna has accumulated in only 2 years of elementary school. It's crazy how many goddamn unsharpened pencils we have. But that there was like, I said to my wife too, I was like, I am being triggered right now by just seeing all this stuff, like all the different baby stuff coming together. So I'm with you on that. And like you said, I love how quick we have. I almost said this last podcast. I love that it wasn't like three episodes in the 50s, three in the 60s, one per, you know, decade. And I love how we are now. We have color. It was going to be tough for any show to start out. Starting in black and white, my brain is instantly like boring. Because again, I didn't watch any of the people were calling me out for not watching like I Love Lucy and, you know, the first couple seasons of Bewitched on like Nick at Night. Didn't like it. I'm sorry, guys. It could have been awesome. Oh, it's damn, just one of those things I didn't get into. What was the other thing?
Honeymooners?
What's the other black one? We talked about Honeymooners and Mary Tyler Moore Show. Like stuff like, I don't know, Mary Tyler Moore Show was in black and white, but like that just didn't interest me. Just having color, I was like, I'm in. And I immediately, I'm saying it right now. We said last episode, I don't know, you know, when the payoffs are going to come in. The payoffs are here. I feel like it was only 1 week worth of, like, defending the show. I already feel redeemed based on what we got, you know, this episode. So I'm very happy right now with where we're going.
This episode was awesome. Definitely my favorite episode of the three, without a doubt. And I texted you. The first thing I said about it was I loved the aesthetic of it. The entire look of this 70s episode, it made me want to decorate my apartment to look like theirs with the carpets, like you said, the vintage, like the wooden cabinets in the background they had. The 70s just looks so fucking cool. All of their clothes, too. The, like, blazer Paul Bettany was wearing. I loved it all.
Wanda, when she's just flipping jackets and shit like that, she had the furs and like the Brady Bunch dresses, like the flowy dresses. I'm like, goddamn flower power, man. It must have been a hell of a time to be alive.
They go to grab a doctor because they realize this baby's growing exponentially fast. This guy's name is Dr. Nielsen. Do you think that's about Nielsen ratings in some way? It's got to be, right?
Feels like it. Yep, feels like it for sure.
And Vision goes, talks to him. A doctor says, listen, this baby's growing like a fruit. He starts comparing it to like all different kinds of fruits. And then as Wanda's contractions start, she starts turning these objects into real things like butterflies, the little butterfly like thing above the baby's crib. She turns into real things. There's a stork on the wall that they painted. She turns that into a real one, which is kind of a funny thing. And she makes all of the power go out on the entire block. And there's such a funny scene with Dottie. It's the only scene with like the Dottie and her husband in the episode. But this was the funniest moment of the episode for me where she's like, do these earrings make me look fat? And the power goes out. And he's like, oh, thank God. It's so well delivered.
Dottie's husband being put into a pretzel by his wife. It's like, that's a running gag I can get used to real quick. I love that. The stork nibbling at the pants with the little fish on it and stuff like that. And it's like, those were, I feel like how... probably the 70s and before is always like trying to, you know, confuse like the neighbor or whatever from the craziness that's going on in your personal life. That was always one of those running gags. And she makes it rain when her water breaks and all that kind of stuff. It was all very cool. And the goddamn, by the way, they call him Mr. Doctor, which I think is like a, might be a Dr. Strange callback too, where he calls him Mr. Doctor. And obviously Dr. Strange is going to be very prevalent in Wanda's future in the MCU here, at least for the foreseeable future. There is a lot of shit like that. And all the parents out there know, you get told about how goddamn big that little fetus is growing by fruits. Listen, we're not fruit guys. I'm not a fruit guy. It's not going to surprise a lot of people who don't know this, but I'm clearly not a fruit. They're talking about like kumquats and kiwis. I don't know what a kiwi, like, I have an idea of what a kiwi looks like. I don't know how big it is. I don't know what it is in the body. So they need to come up with a different unit of measurement, like balls or something like that. The ball scale. We'll go with the ball scale. We'll go with football, basketball, baseball, all that kind of stuff. And even Vision. Vision gets the dad joke gene immediately when he's like, papaya. And I loved how even a fucking robot gets the dad gene as his wife gets pregnant. So
I love that. I love how he was trying to do the diaper super fast. He was having Wanda like time him, and it was obviously like 1.2 seconds. She's like, oh, your personal best. They start arguing over the name. One of them wants it to be named Billy. One of them wants it to be named Tommy. I think we all realized like it was going to be twins because that's how it was in the comics. At least if you knew that, you knew we were getting a Billy and a Tommy. We get a commercial break. This commercial break was by far the most clear, hey, like we're kind of breaking the fourth wall and telling you what's going on here, where they're like, if you're having a hard time, create your own reality away from reality and create a pocket universe. They might have, might as well have said, like, create a pocket universe in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Again,
yeah, we got Hydra
in it. Yeah. So I think it's, I think it is fair to assume that might be Wanda's mother at this point. And we get to see our guy Herb when we come back. Or it might have been right before commercial. But our guy Herb is all fucking 70s out. He's got the goatee. He's got the afro now. He's got an awesome shirt. He might have got that from Cuts Clothing. Who knows? Back in the 70s, if they got transported back into Westview. And he starts glitching out. He's like, oh, hey, neighbor. They start talking to him in Vision. He's hedge clipping. He starts clipping through cinder blocks. And Vision's like, this is fucking weird. Herb, you all right there? And he just keeps going. He's like, yep, I'm fine. I viewed that as he's glitching. I assume you did as well.
No, man.
Oh, you did?
I view it as, I don't like it, Bob. I don't like Herb. I don't trust Herb. I don't like not being able to trust a Herb. I don't trust Herb. He's trying, it's his walls. He's trying to take down walls. He's trying to get into Wanda. He's trying to get into this like world. That's how I take it. And it could be a glitching thing, I guess. But I am, the antennas are up. I mean, it feels like the neighbors, I think we kind of like thought, you know, obviously Agnes potentially being a problem. Her husband, Ralph, was going to potentially be Mephisto with all the things about, you know, he keeps him in the dark. I like my husband in the dark, which I think she said this episode. And I, you know, the way her and Herb are kind of like, you know, they're together and they're saying how, what's the girl in the house?
Geraldine.
Girl from Captain Marvel. Geraldine, like, they don't like her. We know that she should be a good guy. So I don't like it. I can't trust Herb. And I feel like Herb is a bad guy right now, Bob, but I'm not feeling great about it right now.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to when they talk about Geraldine in a bit. But Vision goes back in the house at first, and he kind of confirms to Wanda, like, something's going on with Herb, kind of weird. And he starts bringing up that things all over the place are a little bit weird. Soon as he does that, glitch. Boom. And Wanda sends him right back to before he thought it was weird. I thought this was important because if Vision is realizing what's going on, is he as much of a figment of her imagination as everyone else or no?
No. I mean, I feel like he looks right into the camera too. And he's like, something's off here. Like the thing is like, I always thought Vision was just completely made up in her mind, but now I'm like, is Vision alive and she's brought him back just without the Mind Stone? So I don't know how that all works, but I feel like he is completely, he doesn't know what's going on. He's along for the ride. He is not in control. Wanda is in the driver's seat and everyone else is in the back of the taxi cab behind the like plexiglass. Like you can't even get to her. And if you do, she fucking just, I call it like the Madden rewind button. But that was a feature a few years ago in Madden. Where if like you're like, oh, I don't want to throw that pick six. And that was like their big feature. It was such a dumb idea. I hated that Madden rewind. And that's just all Wanda's doing. She's just hitting, what is it, Control-Z is the undoing button. She's just Control-Z these motherfuckers back to whatever she wants right now in her little reality.
So eventually her water breaks. Vision goes to grab the doctor. He's speeding over there, you know, at literally super speed. And at this point, Geraldine pops by. The stork is walking all around, so Wanda's trying to distract her. She's even trying to distract her from the fact that she's got a belly now, because it wouldn't make sense that she's all of a sudden pregnant one day after she last saw her, and 9 months pregnant to, you know, at that. And this was a great, like you said, kind of like episode one when they're trying to distract Mr. Hart and his wife from the kitchen. They're trying to just get Geraldine to look any other direction than from where the stork is. You referenced this. The stork starts biting at her pants because they're like fish patterned. That was great. Geraldine, by the way, if we're talking fits, she pulls a fit off in this whole blue outfit. That was fucking badass.
Does she call herself Foxy too? Like, call me Foxy or something like
she
that?
She does, yeah. she says like, oh, no, it's Foxy, yeah. As soon as Wanda's contractions start getting really bad, she basically has to tell Geraldine. She gets on the floor. She's like, we can do this. Wanda's like, I can definitely not do this. I think she was probably afraid that she was going to show all her powers or something like that in this scene. They deliver a healthy baby boy. Geraldine says, oh, here you go. It's a baby boy. Vision and the doctor get back right in time. And then we think, oh, that's it. Nope. There's one more baby coming. So twins are delivered. We have a Billy and a Tommy. They start to put them in the cribs. Everything's okay. Vision talks to the doctor for a little bit. He goes, oh, enjoy your vacation. And the doctor says, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to get away for that vacation. Small towns, hard to escape from. And then he talks to the neighbors, Agnes and Herb. While Geraldine is still in the house with Wanda, he hears them kind of chattering, whispering. And he's like, this is fucking weird. Are they gossiping about my wife over here? Starts listening in. and they reveal this one line that they stop. They say, Geraldine's in there because we're all, and they stop. They stop themselves right there. We don't know what the end of that sentence is. If I had to assume, it'd be trapped. We're all trapped. We're all stuck, something like that. But they also reveal this very important line. They talk about Geraldine, and they say she has no home. This is important later. We cut back to the inside. Wanda is telling Geraldine that she was actually a twin. She reveals this, and it's the first time we kind of get MCU backstory, that she remembers her past, right? She says, I was actually a twin. His name was Pietro. She says it with that accent, you know? Geraldine, in that moment, she just fucking goes right for it. She says it. He was killed by Ultron, wasn't he? Oh, shit moment. That is like, what was your reaction when you heard that?
I thought of actually Ghostbusters when they're like, when someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. It's like, when you're around Wanda, you do not say the U word. You do not say Ultron. And and that was the first time I think Pietro has even been said, basically, yeah. Right? Like, I didn't know if it was just a, listen, we went over this, I think, a couple of years ago in the basement, but I just wasn't an Avengers 2 fan. I didn't love it. I can rewatch it. I might like it more, but I think comparing it to the other three, it's clearly the weakest link of them all. I just thought they kind of just moved on from it and like, we kind of dropped the ball on that. It might have been by design for this because that hits. She drops it in the accent too, and you're like, oh boy, you're getting a little bit of the real Wanda into this world, you know, when she's bringing that up. And obviously we do the lullaby later. You do hear Sokovia in the first episode. It was like, if Geraldine had the rewind button, she would have smashed it then because you went a step too far and that's where shit hit the fan.
Before we continue with the rest of this episode, let me tell you, while we're talking about these great fits, about Cuts Clothing. Clem, aside from McGregor merch, Cuts Clothing is the only shit I brought out to Abu Dhabi because it's the most comfortable stuff in my closet. It's also good looking. Like, I could wear this stuff to press conferences. I could wear this stuff to actual events and not look like a slob. The shirts have great cuts, great fits for everyone. You select your collar, your bottom cut, your color. It's tailored to fit your lifestyle. Whatever you need, sophisticated, presentable, stylish, casual, they've got it all. They say they take the plain tee and they make it Tony Stark. I fucking love that line. The bleeding edge of fabric technology meets the man confident enough to wear it. That's Cuts Clothing for you. They've got wrinkle-free polos that you could wear anywhere, like I said, in a professional setting, the golf course, at home, a casual setting, even in the fucking gym if you want to. That's how comfortable all this stuff is. And it doesn't matter what you do. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a maverick, if you're an athlete, if you're a podcast host like me, everyone loves Cuts. They're all echoing GQ. It's the only shirt worth wearing. Let's kick off 2021 the right way, starting with your wardrobe. You'll get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/basement right now. That's cutsclothing.com/BASEMENT for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Okay, and from here, Wanda just snaps. That look on her face completely changes, and she's all, what did you just say? She looks down at Geraldine's necklace. There's a sword on it. She's like, what is that necklace? What is that symbol on that necklace? And the look on her face, Elizabeth Olsen could win a fucking Emmy for this. I saw Kevin Smith immediately posted it. He's like, you might have to give her an Emmy for this show because the way she went from fun-loving 70s wife, groovy baby, you know, to like, I'm going to murder you in my own home in front of my own two children that were just born. She sends Geraldine back. We don't see this. We just see Vision come in. Geraldine's no longer there. And he's like, where did Geraldine go? And he's skeptical for sure about what's going on with Wanda, what's going on in this whole world. And she says she had to rush home. And she says it with this just like cold fucking look on her face. Vision knows that she does not have a home. So he absolutely knows that shit is fucked here. And we cut to what I'll call the real world, at least what we think is the real world. We see Geraldine like burst out of this energy bubble type thing. And cars surround her. People get out with guns. I think this is probably SHIELD, one of the two. And we see, like, basically that a universe is set up. Westview is set up in an empty field that you can't see. And there's tents, almost like Thor. When they were monitoring Thor in the first, whatever, Iron Man 2, yes. I think you see that post-credit scene. And there's, like, those white tents set up everywhere. It reminded me of that. So this is, I would say, confirmed a pocket universe, confirmed Geraldine was there spying on Wanda or trying to get her to snap out of this or stuck there with Wanda. But I think episode 4 is like when shit is really going to ramp up. We might even have a back and forth where it's like we see Wanda and Vision in the 80s, and then we also see Sword trying to go back and forth. I don't know, but business has picked up, ladies and gentlemen.
That was exactly what you said to me. You said business has picked up this episode, and that was the first thing I thought of was JR saying that in that exact fucking voice. And this is Jersey. Is it definitely in Jersey where this is set up? Because I was reading people, and I don't know if I saw, if I missed a sign that said it, or if they just know the area, but that would make sense either way. Would you call it a pocket universe?
Yeah, I think it is Jersey.
I like that.
Area codes match up, and also the camp that has been used so many times, like the Captain America camp, they went back to it in Endgame, could be set up there, and that would make sense in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, because they usually go back to the same spots and all that stuff. You said it perfectly. When after Geraldine says, and I saw this on Reddit, someone said, "If you think the U word is bad, when someone says the T word about the big purple guy that fucking ripped that stone out of her boy's head, that's when shit is going to probably just, that's when the nuke goes off, and that's when we have real problems in WandaLand." But it was just cold. You could feel it like through the screen. Awesome acting. It's almost like you go to Breaking Bad once, I won't spoil anything, but at the end of Breaking Bad, when shit has just completely gone haywire and you're just in the house with Walter and Skyler, and you just like, it's like fucking negative 100 degrees in there. You just feel the chill through the screen. That's exactly what you feel. And it's like, she's lying to the guy in her own husband in her own show about the happy family dynamic and stuff. And he clearly knows it. It's just, I almost feel like sad for Wanda. I'm also absolutely terrified of Wanda. So it's a real interesting, like, bunch of emotions that go through me as I see her. And then you remember how, like, her life has basically been nothing but sadness. And it's kind of the, in a sense, like with Jean Grey and the X-Men, where it's like the most dangerous thing of all, someone as powerful as her with like that deep rooted, like, sadness and aggression inside. And that's kind of what I think what's going to end with the ending of this show. Whatever happens with her and with the people that are inside there, whatever bad's going to happen is from, again, Tony Stark kind of started it, Hydra kind of, you know, grew it, and then Ultron and Thanos kind of threw gasoline on the fire, and whatever happens here is going to be some it's gonna be bad news, man. And I'm so excited of how this has all turned out, though. This is exactly played out. And even the Daydream Believer, first of all, absolute banger of a song. It came on the other night. It came on the other day when I was in the shower. And I was like, ah, this is such a fun little silly song, but it makes perfect sense. Wanda is a daydream. This is her daydream, and she believes it's true. And you know, everyone else is in there as well. So absolutely perfect way to kind of wrap up the episode by them with I keep forgetting her name. What's her name? The
Geraldine.
Geraldine, yeah. With Geraldine just kind of getting thrown out. And I don't know what the fuck. It's some Truman Show on steroids going on there.
Yes, absolutely. And there's almost villain vibes from Wanda. I think it's up in the air now that she could be the fucking villain. Who knows if Wanda's the villain for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, if she either opens a multiverse of some sort or tries to collapse them into themselves. I've seen people say, what if that's sort of what we're doing here, where Wanda is taking a bunch of universes and she collapses them into one using her powers. And then that's how we bring in the X-Men, because let's say they existed in Earth 167 and now they're in this one, and the Fantastic Four existed in another one, and now they're in this one, and then vampires existed in one, and then you could bring in Blade from that. So there's a lot of different directions the show can go at this point. I have no idea where it's going to go, and I love that. Like, not a fault of Marvel, but something that people have brought up for years to try to, like, dig at Marvel is, like, it's formulaic. Every movie's the same. You've seen one Marvel movie, they just follow the same thing, and they throw in a couple jokes, action scenes. Tell you what, Marvel's fucking sticking it to those people with a double bird in this show. They're like, oh, really? Guess what's going to happen in the next episode? Because I can't tell you one thing. I don't even know what the main storyline's going to be. Like, this one, we knew Wanda's pregnant, whatever. The next one, who knows? Raising kids? That's going to be like the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen family there? I don't know.
I was trying to figure out, my wife and I were trying to figure out what show will kind of be the basis for the 80s. And as a kid that, you know, grew up in a little bit in the 80s, a child of the 80s, Growing Pains and Family Ties were the first two that I thought of. Both great fucking shows. And then I was hoping we'd get a Full House thing just because the Olsen, you know, obviously her Elizabeth's sisters were like the kid stars of that show. But yeah, like, there's no way to, like, I think I feel like we have the Mephisto stuff and the Agnes and all this stuff that I really don't know much of, you know, admittedly. I feel like that's going to have to be kind of the main villain takeaway from this. But the X-Men stuff, we talked about it a little bit on last time, and I had someone here, Davey Kritz, tweeted me about the House of M. And he said, Wanda went nuts and created an alternate reality where mutants got everything they wanted. And the most powerful family was Magneto's, where her and Quicksilver are their children, the House of M. This is in the comic books.
Yep.
At the end of it, since the Avengers and the X-Men figured it out and put a stop to it, Wanda is still batshit. She hated her father and the mutants and said, no more mutants. And the resulting explosion of energy depowered like 95% of the mutants on the power. After that, everyone hated her. But for me, I think they come out of this, come out of WandaVision with S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.W.O.R.D. or whatever. And it's more about the witch part of her name. Now her kids are mutants in the comics. And that could be, it could kind of be the reverse, where she might be the thing that creates mutants or, yeah, you know, multiverse shit and brings mutants into it. I don't really know. But the House of M stuff that we kind of touched on and weren't too sure about, very X-Men heavy. And another thing, which, I mean, talk about some deep, Marvel's really just fucking with us if this stuff is true. The devil's in the details that can go with some Mephisto stuff, which I was reading. If you notice, there's a lot of hexagons, like the end screen.
Like six sides.
Yeah. So it was either the first episode or the second episode as they're leaving the show, as they're signing off, it's a hexagon that goes around Wanda and Vision. And this could be all True Detective season one bullshit that everyone's reading into. But someone said, I think too, that the clocks, there might have been some sixes missing. Stuff like, just as someone that read a whole lot about Tupac being alive back in the 90s, I sign up for all these conspiracy theories. And then the craziest one of all is there's this thing where it's like the way that there's clocks, and the way the clock arrows are pointing, I could maybe tweet it out, is the way the arms are. It's the same way the arms go for when you're trying to land a plane and you're like signaling out something, and it literally spells out X-M-E-N. So if Marvel's really going deep into the details and Kevin Feige's throwing up those double birds, and like, if you guys want to get crazy, we're going to give some good shit for the people that really are diehards. Whoa. About this. They're giving you fucking crazy, crazy level of detail there. If it's true, it could all be True Detective season one. The Yellow King is just some fucking weird janitor who's part of like a cult, but it's exciting. As someone who's an X-Men fan, as someone who just likes this kind of shit, I'm still dying. I wish we had more of a villain like a Mr. Sinister, an Apocalypse, a Doctor Doom, who are awesome big time villains that I know of, but those guys will come with Fantastic Four and X-Men. Mephisto, I think, is going to be the guy here, but like you said, they're giving us some good stuff. And I mean, like you said, that commercial, escape to a world all your own, find the goddess within. I mean, that is saying Wanda is, they're just telling you this is what the show is about. So I love, we don't have to dig too deep to get some of this gold, but there is some gold if you really want to get down there, apparently, for the diehards.
I feel like this episode confirmed more than anything the question we got last week, where they said, do you think we're going to get more questions than answers? No, I think the answers are very much coming. And speaking of all the sixes, I weighed myself in my room, and it's in kilograms. I weighed 66.6 kilograms, Clem. What the fuck is that? Mephisto's in my life now, too?
This is a good, Bob. I don't like this. I don't like this one bit.
Before we get out of here, I want to read a theory that a listener sent in that I actually sent to you, and I thought this was such a creative theory. I thought it was so great. Shout out to Jake Paradise for sending this in. He said, hey, Bob, big-time fan of you, Clem, MMB, got an interesting WandaVision theory for you. What if Wanda is with Vision's lifeless corpse and is trying to resurrect him slowly, with Agnes and maybe Mephisto influencing her for bad intentions? Might be why the first two episodes are gray, parentheses, Vision's body in Infinity War was gray after Thanos plucked the Mind Stone out of his forehead. And as we move throughout the rest of the series, we have color as Wanda is bringing him back to life. I loved that theory, and I don't know if it'll come true, but I loved it just on the basis of, like, man, people thinking of that shit is awesome.
Yeah, and again, like Brandon Clancy said, like the red, the color being from like the real world, and that, you know, it does kind of line up with the exact colors of Vision when he's dead, and then obviously bringing him to life, he's having his like colors when he was alive. So I love that.
Vision's haircut again, and sideburns in this episode, by the way, too.
Oh, guy just pulls it off. And the actor just makes me laugh. Like when he's running with the doctor, like, that's, yeah. I don't know. It's like, I wouldn't have thought I would have liked it so much, but I was just giggling the entire time.
And this is like the most we've seen of either of them by far. Kevin Smith said on his podcast that he went back and watched, there was like a YouTube video that said all of Wanda's scenes in the entire MCU. And he said the whole thing was like 20 minutes long. So now we've gotten like 60 minutes of seeing Wanda, and it's triple what we've seen her in the past. Now it's sort of we've seen a little bit of the real Wanda and a lot of sitcom Wanda. But at the same time, it's just like cool that these characters who were side characters going forward are definitely going to be major players in the MCU. Vision, even if he doesn't come back after WandaVision, because of all that he influenced.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing with WandaVision is, did they ever, it's going to just be one season, right? Like, yeah. I don't think this is a multi.
I don't think they're bringing TV this back. Like, I think it's just a miniseries.
Yeah, exactly. You hear a TV show and you think series, and it's just going to keep going until they run out of material, or, you know, they move to the next phase. But I mean, this is absolutely perfect. And it's the having your own network in this new world we live in, the digital world where Disney Plus, they could just throw it on there, right? Where in the past, you'd have to get ABC to sign off on it, or somewhere on Disney's 8,000 different networks or something like that. The fact that they can just throw it on the internet and it's just there, it kind of just gives them so much wiggle room to work with. And the way that they've had to kind of adapt, again, with COVID and the movies not being released.
Black Widow delayed again.
Did it get delayed again?
Yeah.
God damn it. Matt Damon, he's in
Thor,
in Marvel, right?
Love and Thunder. Yeah,
that's right.
Which he's been in Thor before. He played Loki in that little play. He made the cameo, but yeah. Maybe he'll come back. Someone said maybe he'll be like a shapeshifter who actually was the same character that he was when he played Loki, which would be funny. Matt Damon's the king of the cameo. He makes cameos in so many strange, random movies. I remember seeing this movie a few years ago called Unsane or Unseen or something, and it was a total gimmick. I think it was made by, like, David Cronenberg or one of those fucking, like, artsy directors. And the gimmick of the movie was that they shot it on an iPhone. And they were like, we're releasing this in theaters. We shot the whole fucking thing on an iPhone, edited it on an iPhone, whatever. And it was horrible, just a horrible, dreadful movie. But Matt Damon shows up like midway through for a scene where he like interrogates someone, and he's in it for 2 minutes. It was the most jarring cameo I've ever seen in a movie. But that was WandaVision episode 3, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry we're not doing questions this week. Like I said, I'm going to head off to the fights in just a bit, so don't have a ton of time.
Yeah, I think if we do, I mean, we could do questions after every, but I think like we need to kind of let everything marinate for an episode or two, and then we kind of, hey, we have a stack of this many things, you know, it's only like a 20 minute episode, and that's why I'm more than fine. Like, it's a fucking pandemic, guys. There's not a ton going on. You know what I mean? Like, we can just go there. You get a 20-minute episode. It's not taking too much of your time. And then you just go on the internet. That's like another hour worth of shit where you're reading stuff. That is almost better than just getting like a full-blown episode, like a typical hour worth of stuff. I kind of like being able to pick through the stuff. One other thing that I wrote down is I read this on Reddit as well. Apparently the aspect ratio shifts after Wanda kind of like gets pissed off.
I noticed that.
The world has changed, so that's a very cool thing that, again, there's so much.
It turns into, like, very much, like, it turned into widescreen, and it turned into, like a modern view, which almost made me think, like, oh, this is reality. This is, like, reality bleeding in. This is our reality, you know? And one more point about the miniseries aspect of it, and what you were talking about, which is how great it is that they could just produce miniseries, don't have to do two seasons of anything. That is, like, you're literally doing the closest thing you possibly can do to showing us a comic book arc on screen. Like, a comic book arc usually lasts, what, 6 weeks, 6 issues? Okay, now we're doing that as picture this as each an issue of a comic. And then at the end of it, we're going to be like, oh, do you remember the Dark Phoenix saga? Like, that was a couple issues, right? You release it as a graphic novel. So I think this is just perfect. I think going forward, if they figure out a way to truly nail television as they've nailed movies, it may even be like, people may say, hey, we would rather like watch TV shows than movies when it comes to superheroes in the future, especially if they have the production budget and value that this one does.
God damn it. I just thought of the hashtag we should have started. Now it's going to seem like we're front running after this episode where you start getting some, you know, breadcrumbs really put into your mouth. Trust the Feige is our fucking hashtag. Trust the Feige. It's going to be fine.
But we could use that forever. Let's use that for Black Widow when people are still like, oh, Black Widow, like, I don't really care about her. She died before, like, whatever. Trust the Feige. Fucking trust the Feige.
Trust the Feige. Hashtag Trustafuck.
And when it comes to Star Wars, Trustafaloni.
Trustafaloni, exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to 3Chi for sponsoring the show. Thank you to Cuts Clothing for sponsoring the show. I hope by now, when you're listening to this, I can say congratulations to Conor McGregor on the fantastic knockout this weekend. And we'll catch you next week.